today, Lord. Let us just receive all that you would have us receive, Lord. And let us be changed, Lord. And let us have an impact on those we come in contact with, wherever that may be, in Jesus' name. Well, Oscar called me on Tuesday and said that they were going out of town. So it was a wonderful, well-deserved vacation for, of course, Mark and Joey just got back from vacation. So, but anyway, wish them safe travels and be back for next Sunday. Anyway, the title of this message is Walking with God. And he gave me three things that we're going to talk about today. First of all, before I get into those, there are benefits to walking with God. Tremendous things that I didn't even know. There's nothing wrong with receiving the benefits. You know, sometimes we like get so holy, it's like, oh, you know, I can live whether I have the benefits or not. Well, true, you can. But it's a lot better with the benefits. A lot better. So the three things, where he guides, he provides. Where he guides, he provides. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. All your ways. Where he guides, he provides. Where there is vision, there is provision. There is provision. Where there is vision, there is provision. People lack, or people perish for lack of vision. Don't be concerned with the outcome. Okay? We tend to get so concerned with what's going to happen if I do this, or where am I heading with this? You know, if I'm going to trust in God, where is he going to take me? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Where there is vision, there is provision. He orders our steps and our stops. He orders our steps and our stops. And you all know what I mean when I say that. You've had stops where a door was slammed shut, or you know, something changed, whatever, and maybe you didn't understand it, but you knew God was doing it. Amen. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. I mean, everything just points to this walk with the Lord. And of course, how can you talk about walking with God? Well, before I go there, I have to give this 2 Thessalonians 3:5. This is one you can mark down. I mean, it just, I love this. I'd read it, but really never hit me the way it did this week. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into patient waiting for Christ. Patient waiting. I mean, we've talked a lot about that here. You know, God, if you've ever built a house or you've ever done a project or whatever, there's like a general contractor that has the vision and shares the vision with all the subcontractors. He's the general contractor. We are the subcontractors. You know, we have our part to do in that construction, in that temple of living stones that's being built. And so we have a part to do in this. You know, God does all things well. There's no question about it. But we have to fall in line. Okay, you can't go without these two guys popping up when you're talking about walking with the Lord. Genesis 6:9 says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. He was a just man and perfect. Noah walked with God. Not a lot is said about Enoch. We all know the scripture I'm about to give you, but there's not a lot said about Enoch. However, it's all powerful. I mean, it's huge. Genesis 5, 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was 365 years old. He was probably begging for God to take him. He probably had enough. But anyway, Hebrews 11:5 said that Enoch pleased God. So guess what? When you're walking with God, he's pleased. Noah and Enoch walk with God. And it's not, there's an order for that. It's not God walked with Enoch and Noah. They walked with him. Okay. Have you ever taken a nature hike or gone to a naturalist or whatever, and they take you into the woods and there's all these paths, and but you know what? They know exactly where to go to get to where they want to get to. They know the destination. You don't. You're following. You're walking with them, but someone's leading and it's not you. And so that's the way it is with the Lord. Another example, the benefits. Let's talk about the benefits. Noah trusted and walked with the Lord, and the Lord provided. Where he guides, he provides. Where there's vision, there's provision. He orders our steps and stops. And definitely with Noah. Because of Noah walking with the Lord, Noah's life and the life of his family were saved from the flood. They were the only ones saved. I find that interesting that no one else was walking with God. Enoch pleased God, and he walked with him and never tasted death. Never tasted any kind of natural death. There's this story about four mountain climbers. Two of them were experts, two of them were novices. And they were getting closer to the top. I don't think it was a big peak where they were all strapped in. They were kind of doing it freestyle. And they got to a certain part, and one of the novices thought, this looks like a quicker way up. And so he started down up that path, and the two novices got stuck. And there was nowhere they could go at that point. Well, after hours, one of the experts came back, who was a friend of the novice that thought he was going to beat him to the top. He found him, and he chipped away. They had the things, I don't know what they call them, but to hang on to. And he chipped away two places to put his feet. The interesting thing was this. He said, "Do not lean forward when you put your feet into these places." Because what happens when you lean forward, your feet can go out from underneath you. So he said, hang on to this and lean back when you do it. And he did it, and they were brought to safety. There would have been definitely death. I mean, if that guide wasn't there to come back and save, there would have been death. That's the way the Lord is with us. If we trust and walk with the Lord will provide. In your walk with the Lord, has he asked you to do some things that just doesn't seem right to the natural mind? You know, you go, why is that? I don't understand that. But then you did it, and then you found out. The word walk is to go, walk along, to go after, follow. And I love this word because I think A.J. Tozer wrote a book, In the Pursuit of God or something. Pursue. I like that word. And then another word that for walk is growing day by day. And then it gets really interesting when it says to be made to go, to go away, vanish. When you walk with the Lord, you get to the point where he becomes you. And you become him. But it's all him. That play on words, but hopefully you got that. The bottom line is, like John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he can increase. Just what Audrey said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So you want this, the stuff that he's vanishing away, you want it to vanish. It's the part that is not of him. To lead a pleasing life to God, the word also means attacker. Going right back with this, and that is he will attack those things in you that shouldn't be there. The hay, wood, and stubble, he'll burn it right up. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? All right. He'll burn it up. He'll attack those things. I saw that word attacker, and I went, God's an attacker? Yeah, he's an attacker. He attacks the flesh. I mean, he attacks those things that isn't going to bring us to that closer relationship, which comes next. The word also means intercourse. And I looked up that word in the dictionary. It's an interchange, to put each other in place of the other. Jesus switched with you. Yes, thank God. Yes. He took your righteousness, which is nothing but filthy rags, and took it to the cross. Then he gave you, we didn't do anything to get this, but he gave us a robe of righteousness. A gift, free gift, free gift. I see a bunch of robes of righteousness on you guys, and it's an awesome thing. Jesus dropped out of time, out of eternity into time to walk on this earth to pay the price for us. And what a price he paid. That song says it's a price I could never repay. And it says for Enoch that the Lord took him. It's, you know, to take, fetch, lay hold, seize of. But it fits right in with that other word of intercourse. Marry. To take a wife. He loves us so much that he wants to lay hold of us. But there wouldn't be any growth or maturity if he did it all for us. I mean, we have a part in this. We really do. Now this next scripture, Genesis 3:8, to be honest with you, it blew me away, because you know, you read this and you go, how not to walk with God. But there's so many nuggets that I pulled out of this that is so awesome. I mean, we talk about the benefits. I mean, the benefits are unbelievable, but this is when, I mean, it's considered after the fall or whatever. In Genesis 3:8, Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord. God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, God amongst the trees of the garden. I mean, just breaking this thing down, I mean, the word voice means a lot of things. I mean, we wait for that small, still voice. This said to cry out loud. God was crying out loud. That's how much he loves you, where, I mean, if he has to cry audibly, he's capable of doing it. I believe that. But it says that when it talks about, the cool of the day, the word cool I looked up, and this is what is just phenomenal. It's wind. It's breath. We talked about the breath of God. It's the Holy Spirit. I'd never seen that before. But it's the Holy Spirit, the breath of heaven, The breath of heaven was there and they're hiding. Thanks to Jesus, we're not hiding. When you walk with God in the cool of the day, it's a very special and precious place. It's a place that there's communing. Just like that word we talked about, there's a communing, there's a back and forth. But this is such a neat explanation. It's the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Strong says. And I mean, it's a mouthful, so it's going to be hard to take all of it in. I know I haven't still taken it in, but it's as inspiring, aesthetic state of prophecy. As inspiring, aesthetic state of prophecy. As impelling prophet to utter instruction or warning. Imparting warlike energy and executive and administrative power. Have you heard of one thing there that's not awesome? I mean that's some awesome gifting there. As endowing men with various gifts, as energy of life, as manifest in the Shekinah glory. That's too much to even comprehend. It can only be comprehended in here, because I mean that is just that's what the word cool means. And then they hid. What the word hid means is put out the fire. They put out the fire. Presence is, of course, his face. And our thing is to turn towards his face. That's his presence. Now, trees. We talk about, thank God I'm a tree. This is a little bit different. The tree, let me just read that again. And they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, God amongst the trees of the garden. They shut their eyes to God. The tree, you know, you've heard the old expression, they couldn't see the forest for the trees. They had double vision, clouded vision. They were basically without vision at that point. Well, the Lord is walking. He's still walking. He's walking 24/7. And the decision we have to make is, are we going to walk with him? 24/7? Sleeping? And I know every one of you have woken up from a dead sleep with a praise song on your heart. I know it. And what a wonderful thing. Because you know you're walking with the Lord, because you had nothing to do with that. So he's walking. You know, he's a creator. You know, and if you got a paint, if you any of you are painters out there, unless someone cuts your hands off, you're going to paint. You can't stop from painting. Cynthia can't stop from tickling those ivories and praising the Lord. I mean, the chairs would cry out, wouldn't they? So, you know, God is a creator, and he is creating and creating. Yeah, he took a day of rest, but I don't think he quit creating. But we have a part in this walk. As you can see in the scriptures, there's some that said, yes, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. And there's some that said, he's too holy. He's too untouchable. He's too whatever, you know. But where he guides, he will provide. Where there's vision, he will provide the provision to do whatever you need to do. You say, well, this is out of my comfort zone. He says, good. That's good. He orders our steps and our stops. I found this interesting. In 5th century Ireland, there were these monks from this monastery. They would get in a boat and just, you know, the boat had no rudder or oars. They would just get in this boat, and wherever it took them, they'd preach the gospel. You know? And it was, they were called, if I mess this up, forgive me, peregrines. And wouldn't you say that the spirit of abandonment for the purposes of God were in play there? Wow. Just got in the boat. Said, Lord, take us where you want us. And he did. God wants to send the winds of the Spirit to take you where you're supposed to go. So get in that boat and pray that prayer, and he'll take you. His plan and purpose for your life. I mean, I don't care how old you are, how long you've been the Lord, you still want to know where all this is going. And you don't need to know. One step, he says he orders a step. His word is a lamp unto my feet. He takes one step at a time. That's what he's wanting you to trust him for, one step. Trust him for one step. And then don't worry about where that step takes you. Trust him for one step. But, you know, I'm not going to say that it's always going to be a walk in the park, but with Jesus, it's always better. No matter what, it's always better. You know, and there will be, from time to time, opposition. Comes from without and within. Believe it or not, you know, we'll oppose ourselves. We'll talk ourselves out of a blessing, or talk ourselves out of taking that next step. So right now, I wanted to go to Genesis 26. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but I wish I had time to do that. Because it's about Isaac. And Isaac started out doing the same thing Daddy did, Abraham. And that's called his wife, his sister. And don't you like how Abraham kind of twisted a little bit, because she really was his sister? It was like a half-sister or something like that. So, I mean, he told the truth, but his intentions were a little deceptive. But anyway, let's go to 12. It says, what happened is, after it was found out that Rebekah was Isaac's wife, what happened was, King Abimelech said, man, lay your hands off these people. Just don't have anything to do with them. Just leave them alone, basically, because the hand of God is on Isaac. Even a non-believer knew that, you know. The hand of God was on Isaac, and he said, basically, leave him alone. Isaac planted crops in that land and took in a huge harvest. In the King James, it says 100-fold that year. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to do an investment and get 100-fold return in 1 year? I mean, think about that. It happened here, so it can happen again. Anyway, God blessed him. Isaac knew where those blessings were coming from, too. The man, Isaac, got richer and richer by the day until he was very wealthy. He accumulated flocks and herds and many, many servants, so much so that the Philistines began to envy him. Here's the opposition. I mean, he's basically, you know, bringing in all this harvest and whatever, because that's what God wanted him to do. And so he's getting the opposition now. This is what they did. They got back at him by throwing dirt and debris into all the wells that his father's servants had dug back in the days of his father Abraham. There's your opposition. Clogging up all the wells. Finally, Abimelech told Isaac, leave, you've become too big for us. So Isaac left, and he camped in the valley of Gerar. And Gerar means, it's now in modern day Israel, and it means ruminate. I didn't know what ruminate meant. It's the old country expression, chewing the cud. Some of you laugh because there must be some country people in here. It, basically, you know, this was a place where Isaac was turning a matter over and over in his mind. He was reflecting deeply. And it, if you notice in the last chapter, last verse in that chapter, it was right before he had given the blessing to Jacob instead of Esau. So, I mean, he's dealing with all this stuff. But anyway, it says, he settled down in Gerar. Isaac dug again the wells which were dug in the days of his father Abraham, but had been clogged up by the Philistines after Abraham's death. So, what happened is he redug these wells and they filled them in again. The one well was Esek, which is the word for quarrel. The other one is Sina, which is accusation. He went on from there and dug yet another well, but there was no fighting over this one, so he named it Rehoboth, which is wide open spaces. So, God has given us plenty of space to spread out in the land. From there he went to Beersheba. That very night God appeared to him and said, this is what I wanted to get to. I am the God of Abraham, your father. Don't fear a thing because I am with you. I'll bless you and make your children flourish because of Abraham, my servant. Isaac knew that God was providing the whole way. He knew that. He knew and had faith and trust in the Lord that he would fulfill what he told his daddy. His daddy was going to be the father of many, many, many nations and many, many people. So that involved Isaac, didn't it? Isaac had, you know, something to do with that. So anyway, Isaac built an altar there and prayed, calling on God by name. He pitched his tent and his servants started digging another well. Then what happened is Abimelech came. They had a peace conference, and they decided to make a covenant and maintain friendly relationships. And that reminded me of the scripture that, I'm going to hold off that. Later the same day, Isaac's servants came to him with news about the well. They had been digging. We've struck water. They named those two wells Sheba, which is an oath, and Beersheba, which is an oath well to this day. Now, people perish for lack of vision. The good news is Isaac had the vision from his daddy, and he knew exactly what had to take place. We may not have that clear of a vision. You know, and that's another benefit of walking with the Lord, is to get clear vision. If you don't have clear vision right now, that is a way to get clear vision, is to walk with the Lord. And when you walk with the Lord, he will reveal the deepest secrets out there. I mean, the Bible says he will reveal things that's maybe never been revealed to anybody but you. That'll happen. It's happened before. So, that's what Isaac did, and that's what we need to do when opposition comes. We don't have to fight back or get frustrated. Just pick up a shovel and dig another well. You know? Sounds easy, but I tell you what, I'd rather dig a well than to fight with someone. You know? So he just dig another well. Even when the resources are scarce. Let me say that again. Even when the resources are scarce, even when the critics oppose, even when the enemy tries to shut you down, By faith, dig another well. Dig another well. Where he guides, he provides. Where there's vision, there's provision. He orders our steps and our stops. He knew the promise that God made to his daddy, and he was an important part of that promise. Sebastian Bach had several jobs. Finally, he moved and settled down to Leipzig in Germany. There he became the music director and choir master at the St. Thomas Church and School. He faced tons of opposition. The town council was fighting him all the time, and no one appreciated his musical genius. I mean, everybody's heard of Bach. So, I mean, think about this. This goes back to 1723, and you've heard of Bach, right? Look what he went through. Faced opposition like crazy. The town council was fighting with him. No one appreciated him. They said he was a stuffy old man who clung stubbornly to obsolete forms of music. As a result, they paid him a miserable salary and even tried to take away the meager inheritance he left for his wife after he died. The man went through it, didn't he? Even so, those years in Leipzig were Bach's best years musically. All that, those trials and tribulations, his best year. Despite the opposition, he kept writing cantatas. Nearly one a week, which I can't even imagine one cantata a week. How long is a cantata? I mean, it's got to be more than just one song. So did it a week. Contemporary composers do well to write one cantata a year. So, I mean, that's normal if that, and that's probably advanced, either for Christmas or Easter, and most write a few in their entire lifetimes. But Bach was writing one a week. 202 of them are still being performed today. 202. Most of them conclude with a chorale based on a simple Lutheran hymn, and all of them are closely bound to biblical text. God wanted those cantatas to stand the test of time. 202 of them. In Leipzig, Bach also composed his epic Mass in B minor. And it goes on to talk about that. When Isaac faced opposition, he dug another well. When Bach faced opposition, he wrote another cantata. So you fill in the blank. When you face opposition, what are you going to do? Because y'all have gifts. You may not be able to write cantatas, and you may not be able to write books. You may, whatever, but there is something you can put in that blank. Yes. And you need to find out what it is and put it in the blank. Only this time it is a well of promise. You know, this is what Isaac did. He found this well of promise finally. And up until now, he had been digging wells of opposition, with names like contention and enmity. Now he digs a well that will remind him of God's promise. And every time he drinks from that well or passes it, Isaac will remember what God had said. Isaac will remember God's commitment to him and that he will help him in his commitment to God. When opposition comes, we need to do what Isaac did. We need to worship the Lord, pitch a tent. And you know what that tent is? The Feast of Tabernacles. And you know what that is in today's meaning is the Holy of Holies. And you worship the Lord in that tabernacle, in this tabernacle. And dig a well of promise. In other words, we just need to stop and remember God's commitment to us so that we don't give up our commitment to Him. Despite all the harassment, they can clearly see that God had blessed Isaac, that God has been with Isaac all this time. given him water every place he dug a well, even if it was just for a short period of time. He provided. Amen. You know, the body needs water. He gave him water every time. They couldn't stop God's blessing on Isaac's life as hard as they tried. And I'm telling you, I don't care. Nobody can stop the blessings that God has for you. Amen. Maybe you could. That's another discussion, maybe. I don't know. Hopefully that never happens. You know, it said that Enoch pleased God. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Psalms 23:5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It's running over. There's such a blessing of abundance that God is pouring out. Anoint us oil. He makes us fruitful. You've heard of the word anoint us and oil. You know what that means? Fat. That's what the word means. But then you carry it further. It says, you've heard of the fat of the land, living on the fat of the land. That's a good place to live. So basically, he provides us the fat of the land. It's like a bull breaking its binds. And, you know, the anointing, the breaker anointing will break bands. Not just off of you, but on others that you come in contact with. So we want that anointing, Lord. But you have to listen to the anointing or witness the Spirit within you to discern what God is saying to you personally. Okay, we're going to declare and decree some things. I mean, the thing that is important is if you're going to walk with the Lord, you have to have the mind of Christ, which is what we said earlier. And I will tell you this. The Lord gave me this clearly, and Jim even said it in, the Lord said it through Jim in his prophetic word, and that is, the door to the past is being shut and will never reopen.
Amen.
Receive that. Because
yes.
I tell you, it's for your benefit. Okay, it's for the benefit of all those around you. Because you're going to drag up the past. Guess what? You're not that fun to be with. Because all you're going to focus on is what you would, in the natural, call the negative. Okay? So today, let's shut that door symbolically to the past. What good is it doing you anyway? I mean, if you learn, yes, but you're sitting here presently with all this experience from the past, so now it's time to walk. It's under the blood, every bit of it. Every bit of it. Amen. Amen, amen. You know, we have to declare who God is and what He has done. You know, it says the heavens in Psalm 50, verse 6, and the heavens shall declare His righteousness. For God is judge Himself. He doesn't need any help.
Amen.
He's God. You're not. Even though we all know that as we progress, we get a lot more of Him. And we will be to a point where we will be full to the brim. But you know, right now we're going to let God be God. How's that? Is that okay? Is that a fair thing to say? In the presence of my enemies, you know, you have a choice. You can be bound up, or you can be in distress, or you can be free. That's a choice. Choose freedom. Choose life. But, you know, the word declare is to, you know, tell, declare, make known, to make clear and manifest, to confess. Here's another scripture. But it is good for me to draw near to God. This is Psalm 73:28. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So, you know, Quit looking with the natural eyes. Start looking with the spiritual eyes. Because when you start looking through the spiritual eyes, it's a lot easier to confess these scriptures. If you're looking with the natural eyes, you're saying, oh my God, how are you and me, God, going to get out of this one? Well, you don't have to worry about it. That's his job. Declare his glory. It's one step at a time. One, just one. God, give us grace for that next step. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. His wonders. Be like that childlike faith. Not childish faith, but childlike faith in the wonders of the Lord. I mean, do we hang in there so long that we just get, you know, used to God and it doesn't... I read somewhere 2 weeks ago something about the crossing of the Red Sea with as many people as they were. There were lines of like 5,000 people. Do the math. The wonder of it is unreal. It's just unbelievable. And Isaiah 42 now, see the former things have taken place and new things I declare. New things. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. When you're walking with the Lord, this scripture comes alive. Let me read it again. The former things have taken place. We don't, you know, that's good, but the new things I declare. Isaiah said, I'm going to declare the new things. And he spoke for the Lord. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. So, calling those things which be not as though they are, Klein. God is going to repay for the things that have been taken. God is repaying for all that has been lost. I just feel a complete... God is going to escalate things here. Escalate, you know, Isaac had 100-fold crop. In the same year. I mean, that's unheard of throughout history. I mean, probably no one else has ever done it. And he didn't do anything. God did it. You know, there's 86,400 seconds in a day. Isn't that amazing? 86,400 seconds in a day. 1,440 minutes in a 24-hour period of time. No matter what is going on, it's time to get walking with the Lord. Yes. Get in step. The last two scriptures. But Jesus beheld them, Matthew 19:26, and said to them, with men this is impossible. But with God, what? All. A-L-L means all, and that's what all means. It's all. All things are possible with God. So let's see. Do I want to do it of my own strength, or do I want to do it of God? Let's see. It's not possible if I do it, but it is possible. That's an easy decision. The word possible is... Here's more benefits. You guys had plenty of benefits already. Here's some more. You want some more? Okay, while we close here. Able, powerful, mighty, strong. We even sing the song, I am weak, but you are strong, Lord. Mighty in wealth and influence, strong in soul, to bear calamities and trials with fortitude and patience. You want some of that?
Yes.
I do. Strong Christian virtue. This is the Strong's. I didn't make any of this up. This is what the word means, possible. To be able to do something. There's some people that are crippled in their home. They can't even walk out the house. Mighty. Excelling in something. Back to that fill in the blank. And having power for something. The power that works in you. It's there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just don't ever quit. Yeah, I think it was Winston Churchill did a commencement ceremony, and I think it had whatever, however many words, 6, 7, 8 words. He says, never, 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 never quit. And he sat down.
Amen.
Says it all, doesn't it?
Yes.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't quit. You may be one day away from breakthrough.
Yes.
And breakthrough's coming.
Breakthrough
is coming. I'm telling you, whether you're ready for it or not, breakthrough is coming. The things that have been concerning you, he is perfecting it in you now.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's going to happen whether you're ready or not. I think we're going to be ready. I think we're going to be in step with the Lord, taking that one step at a time, and we're going to be ready that whatever he unleashes on this earth, we're going to be ready. It won't come as a surprise to us, no matter what. No matter what he unleashes in your life, it's not going to come as a surprise to you. Enoch walked with the Lord and he was no more. What a relationship that was. They were married. They were one. They were united. They were intimate. And that's what God wants with us. So, in closing, where he guides, he provides. I'm going to keep drilling this so that when you get to that point where you don't think he's providing, you have to declare and decree that and confess that. I mean, he hasn't let you down yet, has he? Is there anybody he's let down? Just because it didn't go your way doesn't mean he let you down. Right? Okay. Where he guides, he provides. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Where there is vision, there is provision. And don't become concerned with the outcome. Take one step at a time. Trust him for that next step. And then trust him for that next step. And then trust him for that next step. And if your eyes are on him, and they're not somewhere else, guess what? It's going to be a lot easier. Because like when Clyde and Debbie and Kathy did that thing when I talked about whatever I talked about, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you know, if y'all were here, little Debbie was in front of Clyde, and Kathy, the enemy, was coming around the corner, and Clyde stepped in, you know, and all Debbie could see, Clyde was the Lord. All Debbie could see was the Lord. She could not see Kathy. Could not see the enemy. Why put your eyes on the enemy? It's a wasted energy. There's nothing good that can come from that. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He will direct your path. He orders our steps and our stops. Let him order the stops too. Let him. Because, you know, I guarantee there's things that we thought the outcome would have been a lot better if it would have happened our way. Nah. It's not so. Praise the Lord. Hope you received something out of that. I know I did. The Lord was good because this was probably one of the easiest messages. I mean, he just did it all. Honestly, I spent the least time on this. Some of you are saying, I can tell. No. I'm kidding. But it was just flowing, and I had a very busy week, and it was just awesome. You know, when Oscar asked me, it's just one thing I always told the Lord a long time ago. I mean, if someone asks, and it's going to lift up the name of Jesus, I am there, man. I'm going to take those steps to get there, because, and I know you will too, because that is a very small part to play in all that God has done for me. You know, it's a very small thing when you consider all that God has done for me. We were talking in Sunday school about, You know, sometimes we don't feel that growth. We don't feel that we're really moving closer and we're moving, you know, to where God wants us. But look back. The only time I want you to look back is then, because you look back from whence you came and you go, God has taken me a long, long distance, and it's wonderful. It's been a wonderful journey, and I just praise Him and honor Him and give Him all the glory. All the glory in Jesus' name. And He's not finished yet. He will finish, but He's not finished yet. Praise the Lord. Clyde, do you want to dismiss? Absolutely. Come on up here.
Things, and I was sitting on the production line and I was wondering what's going to happen, how's this going to work out, and this, and he gave me this little song, and it's one step at a time will I follow the Lord, never lagging behind or running ahead. One step at a time will I seek in His word. Thus will I learn what the prophets have said. He gave me that.
Amen.
You know, God's really been faithful to us this morning.
Yes.
He's delivered a special blessing to us.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, He's raised up a Savior.
Yes.
And we can't raise up. He's raising us up. We can't raise ourselves. And Father, we thank You for the word this morning, Father, that it was a refreshing of the Holy Spirit by Your blood and through Your Lamb, Father, that, Father, You do all things well.
Yes, amen.
It's by You and for You, Father.
Hallelujah.
May You always be glorified in our midst.
Hallelujah.
Bless this dinner as You see fit, Lord. We give You glory and give You thanks. In